Erev Tov, we're going to pick up from where we left off last week as we continue going through the halachot of Hilchos Borer, which is going to be found in Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Yud Tet. That we are going to continue from where we left off last week. Last week we gave a little bit of a hakdama to the malacha of Borer, what makes Borer so unique, why Borer is such a fascinating malacha. We went a quick overview of the Gemara, the different opinions of how Borer can be done in a mutter fashion, what the different opinions are, biyad miyad l'achila, right? How we spoke about how the Mishnah Berurah says, this is really the malacha that we most commonly mess up with because it affects our life in almost every single scenario, and thus it's really, really, you know, there's an imperative on each and every one of us to know Hilchos Borer very, very well, because as we discussed previously, almost every single case in Hilchos Borer can be either mutter l'chatchila or aser midioraita. That'll have ramifications from taking a piece of chicken off of the serving plate to playing cards with your friends, assuming that's not an iser of gambling. Leave that aside. That's like a Hanukkah topic if anyone's interested. Gambling and halakha of, you know, card games, etc. But a lot of these, you know, these issues of borer come up, you know, from the simply put of when I get dressed Shabbos morning and I want to choose, you know, socks from my drawer or a shirt from my closet, or when I'm, you know, want to just set the table and I'm taking the silverware out from the drawer. These are going to be borer shailas that come up. Well, can I choose the blue shirt instead of the white shirt? Can I take the fork out instead of the knife? Right? All of these questions, I am playing cards. Is it a card game where I am inherently discarding what I don't want? That would be like, what's that game? A pig? I forget, you call it? No, is a pig what it's called? But you're constantly passing cards around until you get, your goal is you're getting rid of bad cards to keep in your hand until you have four of the same. That lechora is really going to be problematic. But there's card games where you're playing what you want to play, right? A game like President, you're putting out the cards to play them versus you're inherently discarding them. That's going to be really problematic depending on the type of card game, etc. These are going to have real ramifications in Hilchos Shabbos with almost everything we do across the day. Borer really affects us in every single aspect of our lives on Shabbos in particular. So we're going to pick up today with where we left off last week, which is going to be Hagdarat HaTarobet. We discussed previously that Borer is only going to be an issue if there's actually a mixture, right? I'm taking a mixture and I'm separating it into separate piles. That's going to be the problem. So the first question then that we're going to have to deal with is, if the definition of the of Borer is taking a mixture and separating it into smaller pieces, into distinct piles and groups, so then it seems very clear that the first thing we need to define is going to be what? How do I define a mixture? Right? I can't, if the whole discussion is when I have a mixture, I now break it apart. I need to define what's going to be considered a mixture. What is a tarovet? Because before I know that, I won't be able to move ahead. Maybe the cards I'm holding in my hand are in a mixture. Maybe the silverware is not actually, you know, mixed. That's going to be a case-by-case issue, and we're going to have to figure that out. So Rashi tells us, in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibur Ma'atchil V'Shada Kamayu, V'lo Ratza Livror Ha'ochel Mitocha Alin, Ulatet Lefnei Kol Echad Ve'Echad, Ela Shatchan Ve'Hem Notlim Ochlim, U'B'Shatuach Zeh Nifresh Ha'ochel Me'alav. Rashi explained, I have, let's say, the fruits mixed in with the leaves. Let's say, you know, you have grapes or apples or whatever, and the fruits all mixed up with the leaves. It's all in one big, you know, mess. And I want to separate the fruits to put the fruits in front of all my guests. But I don't want to, you know, put a plate of grapes with all the leaves and the vines in front of my guests. That's not mechubad. That's not appropriate. So I don't want to do that. So Rashi tells us, what can I do? I could be meshatech it, right? I could spread it all out. Right, take that big basket of grapes with vines in the leaves, spread it all over the table, and now once it's all nifras v'shatuach, it's all spread out and flat, it's not going to be a tarovet anymore. Because each piece, the grapes, the vines, the leaves, are going to be nicker b'fnei atzma, everything stands on its own, it's not one big mess in a basket, now it is just evenly placed across the table. That seems to be what Rashi says. And this is going to be a machloket halacha l'maisa. Can I do that? So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchot of Neuvert writes that there's no borer unless the two different things are mixed together, right? There has to be a definition of mixture where it's mixed. He says, but it's not just a mixture, but if they're side by side, that they're basically touching, and it's not noticeably separate, right? If I have right here, I have my peanuts, and right here I have my cashews, and they're separated by, you know, the width of a hair, so they're basically touching, that might still be considered a tarovet, even though they're not intermixed, but it's zu liad zu, that probably is going to still be a problem. Rav Neuwirth then quotes in the footnotes, B'shem Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Yeah.
Where in the sources are we?
Hagdarat Tarovet. I don't know what page it is on your sources, we have different numbers.
Okay.
Hagdarat Tarovet.
Okay.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Hara Vav. Rav Neuwirth quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says that one can take the mixture, just like Rashi, and spread it out, right? You buy your big 5-pound box of mixed nuts from Costco or from the Shuk. And now you have inside that box, you have your cashews, you have your peanuts, you have your pistachios, and you want to make them three separate bowls. One bowl of cashews, one bowl of peanuts, one bowl of pistachios. But I can't go through it and pull each one out, you know, to make separate bowls. That would be a problem of a borer. So what can I do? Right? Don't do this at home. Your parents might kill you. You take your big 5-pound bag of nuts, you dump it all over the floor, and you lay it flat, you spread it out, really, you make a big mess. And now there's no tarovet because you've got a nut in this corner of the room. You've got a nut over there. Everything, you know, your bag that was one big mixture is now spread out over the entire living room floor. And your mom's going to walk in and be like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I wanted to separate the nuts for Shalosh Shudis so that, you know, we could have separate bowls. And she's like, yeah, but now the floor is covered in nuts. Like, what's wrong with you? So this is not always, you know, the easiest thing, at least in that. But so Rav Shlomo Zalman says that would be mutter. That's exactly what Rashi is talking about. Because the Isser of Borer is to distinctively take something out of the Tarovet. But if I'm not, what did I do here by spreading it on the floor? I was Mevatel Shem Tarovis from it. I've basically eliminated its status as a Tarovet by spilling it on the floor. That wasn't called Borer, that was just Shinui Tzura. I have now changed the categorization of that mixture. Now it's not a mixture. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskins, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, says the same thing in Shuvah. He goes, Moshe, Orechayim, Chelek Dalet, Siman Ayin Dalet, Borer, Yud Aleph. Rav Moshe says, regarding silverware, right? Sometimes, I don't know if you ever, you know, some people have like really nice silverware dividers, and their drawer, you walk into their kitchen, and their drawers are perfectly organized. This is the fork slot, this is the knife slot, this is the spoon slot, right? People know people's houses like that. Who's ever been to someone's house like, oh, where's the silver? I say, oh, it's in that drawer. You open the drawer and you're like, I don't think I can get a fork out without stabbing myself with a knife because it's just one big mess of a drawer, right? They've never heard of a silverware divider for the life of them, and they kind of play by, you know, it's Bittul Torah to put the forks in the fork spot. I'm just going to throw it in the drawer, and that's fine, and I'll find it next time, right? So in that case, how can I set the table? I'm having guests over. I need to set the table for 12 people. And my drawer is a huge mess. I can't go through and pull out, oh, I need a fork. Oh, this is not, pull things out. That's going to be a problem with Borer, maybe. You're putting things aside, right? Olga, Mitok, Psola, La Alta, you're getting into other issues. So Rav Moshe says, what can I do? Take the drawer, take all the silverware, you walk over to your table, you throw all the silverware on the table, you spread it out, and now there's no tarovet. I have lots of random pieces of silverware spread out over the course of my table. That's not going to be called borer. You don't have a tarovet anymore. There inherently is no mixture because that is, you know, each piece now stands on its own. Rav Yashiv did not agree. Right, so Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe say you can do this. That's pshat in Rashi. That you, for sure, you could go and you could spread out your tarovet. You're destroying the tarovet. Now it's something totally different. There is no mixture, and that's going to be mutter. Rav Yashiv, quoted in the Ayilah Meshulash in page Kuf Aleph, explains that one cannot do this. Why? Because once you remove Shem Tarovis from it, you've stripped it of its status as a mixture. That, in essence, is a form of separation. By taking the massive mess of a cutlery drawer and spilling it all over the table, that Misa, where you took all the silverware and you dumped the drawer on the table, you dumped the nuts or the jelly beans all over the table in order to now separate the colors. Once you the Misa of spilling it out, that in itself is shifting and removing the tarovis from it. And Rav Yashiv says that is called Misa Borer. Because realistically speaking, what did you just do? You just took the tarovet, And now it's not a tarobet. You had a mixture. Now you don't have a mixture. So even though Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, "Al pi Rashi, you did not do borer. You just dumped it out. You didn't do anything. You poured it on the table, and now it's not a mixture anymore." L'chaim. Rav Yashiv says, by definition of the fact that you poured it out and now it's not a tarovet, that is going to be problematic. And this is also going to apply, right? People have, you know, your sock drawer is a big mess. You're not meshadech your socks. You don't do shiduchim after they come out of the dryer. You make good matches between them, right? You just, you know, your sock drawer is a mess or whatever it is. So now you're going to start looking for socks. Right? You're not cool enough to walk around with mismatched socks. Right, everyone knows like there's always that cool kid who wears the mismatched socks. So that's like you're not in that madriga. That's like a high madriga that you're not zocha to. Or you're a kohen, you're gonna duchen. You don't want to look like a fool with one purple sock and one green sock if that's not your style. So you're gonna start looking through. You might have a problem when it comes to borer regarding picking out your socks. So can I take my sock drawer, dump it on my bed, right, or throw it in the air, have a big sock party, and they all fall down like confetti, right? And now, is that going to be mutter to choose, oh, there's a blue sock l'chaim. So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, that is mutter. Because you didn't do borer, you just destroyed the mixture. As in, you destroyed it on its own, inherently without doing borer. Whereas in Rav Yashiv would say, no, the minute you threw it up in the air, or you dumped it out all over the floor of your bed, that is going to be considered maisa borer, because you've now removed the tarovas from it. The Mishnah Shabbat Rav Zander explains so clearly and so beautifully, as he always does in the Sefer, fantastic Sefer. I highly recommend it. It has two volumes on Shabbos, one volume on Kashrus. He just came out a few months ago with another volume on Hilchos Yom Tov that I've yet to get, but his Sefarim are really, really fantastic. His Talmud of Repetcha Vershlita, and the Sefer Levi. And so he explains that the Hagdara of a tarovet, right? He says, tarobetu lav davka minim achadim meuravim zebezeh. A mixture is not necessarily when I have different things mixed, you know, that have come together and now become one. Right? It's not that it's all turned, you know, it's become one big conglomerate. That's not the definition of a tarobet. Rather, he explains, ela, af im smuchim haminim zebezeh beisidor. Rather, they're all really like, they're close to one another. They're near each other, and there's no particular order. Right? There's no like organized, you know, the like perfect satisfaction videos of the row of blue green jelly beans versus the red ones versus the orange ones. You have a whole rainbow of Skittles spread out on your table or in the jar so perfectly placed. Rather, it's all kind of mixed. It's not like it's mixed all together and it's become one, but rather it's now become one big conglomerate in a non-organized mess. So he says, Ad shenirim kimeuravim harehem nechshavim latarovet. The definition of a tarovet is if you take a quick glance at them, you won't see that, oh, that's a green one, that's a blue one, that's a red one, right? That's an end piece, that's not an end piece. Right? Puzzles. Oh, you go through and you start looking for the end pieces, the corner pieces, the blue, the sky, the lake, the forest. You like start looking for all the colors. So when you open the box, it's a huge mess. That's going to be a real problem. Okay, how we do puzzles on Shabbos is also an issue with maybe kotev, drawing, etc. But regarding borer, it's going to be you want to go out and take all the corner pieces and end pieces and the different colors. When you open the box and it's all mixed together, that's going to be a problem because it all looks at one. Rav Zander explains in Mishnah Shabbat that the definition of tarovet is when you take a quick glance at it. Does it look like it's all one big mixture, or does it look like it's inherently separate things, right? Is there going to be a nikar division, right? A noticeable division between group A and group B? Or no, it's really they're touching, they're kind of mixed, it's not a clean edge between them, and that might be a problem. Really, the whole thing is whether or not it's noticeably separate, or rather, when you take a quick glance, it's going to look like one big mixture. And that seems to really be our general litmus test. If I want to know, is this a tarovet or is it not? So I'm going to say, well, if I just take a quick glance, do I say, oh, look, it's green jelly beans? Or do I say, oh, wow, it's a bowl of, you know, multicolored jelly beans? Right? You're not going to notice off the right when you first see it, oh, that's the different colors all separated perfectly. Rather, I'm going to say, oh, that's one big mixture. It's a bag of mixed nuts. And that's going to be it's really a litmus test, you know, there's going to be an aspect of subjectivity, of course, to this as well. When I look at it, am I going to notice, is it noticeably separate, or does it look like it is one mixture? So that's always going to be the first question we really need to ask ourselves is, well, is it a tyrovet? If there's no tyrovet, then there's no borer. It's inherently going to be a problem when there is a mixture. Is that clear? That's going to be part of our discussion from the Machloket Yerushalmi Bavli that we discussed last week. Is it going to be right borer kol ayom? Am I going to say that borer is the perfection of it? It's not 100% green jelly beans, or am I going to say no? That's basically a jar of green jelly beans. There happens to be one or two blue ones. They stand out. They're not really part of it. That's part of how we, the Eglei Tal, would understand the Machloket Bavli Yerushalmi. Is it tikkun ha-maychal, right? Or is it no? It's 100%. That's part of our discussion. But if your goal is, I'm going to take the blue jelly beans out to eat it right now, l'kulei alma, that's going to be mutter, right? I wouldn't assume, and no one prefers the green jelly beans to the blue ones. Everyone knows the blue ones are the best jelly beans, right? So, like, of course, in your case, you're going to eat the blue ones. You left all the green ones from before. But in a case where, let's say, your goal's not right, you're having a you're throwing a kiddush and it's the forest themed, right? You're having a forest kiddush. So you have all your forest themed foods and you have green jelly beans. And you realize, oh shoot, I left three blue ones in. So if you take out those three blue jelly beans, just so that the bowl is going to be a perfect, you know, stack of green, that's going to be a problem with borer. Because now you've removed it, and that's called taking out the psolet from the ochel. So even though you're doing a la'alta right before the kiddush, and you're doing a biyad with your hand, once I now have the qualification that I've rendered the blue ones, my quote-unquote garbage, my psolet, my non-edibles, because I inherently want the greens, that's going to be a problem.
If you put it into another bowl of blue jelly beans, is that
are you planning on serving the blue jelly beans now? Or You're putting them in the kitchen for later because they're not going to be at the forest. They're not going to be at the forest kiddush. They're going to be at next week's ocean kiddush.
No, like I have one bowl of green jelly beans. I have one bowl of blue jelly beans.
So that would then come into a question of altar. It has to be really right beforehand. It can't be for later on. But that's why a lot of these cases are going to be very specific as to what exactly is going on. Is it really for now? Is it for later? How am I doing it, etc.? And that's why it's always important to remember, miad, right, for immediate use, biad with our hands, not with a special kli, le'achila, because I inherently want it. That is my food source. That is what I want versus that's what I'm trying to push off on the side for later or for someone else. Because I inherently don't want it. Any other questions on the hagdara of a tarovet? Awesome. So now let's move on to the next question. This is going to be part of what you were asking. Borer shnei mine machalim, tarovot shichvot, and gadol v'katan. What's going to be when I have a mixture that's going to be different types of food? So that's going to be our mixed nuts. That's going to be maybe our multicolored jelly beans. That's going to be, let's say, a plate with sushi that has some salmon pieces and some tuna pieces, etc. Or a plate of chicken that has, you know, there's the teriyaki chicken and there's the orange chicken. Okay? So is that going to be called min echad, or is that shtei minim, right? Two different types of salmon, two different types of chicken, etc. It's the same chicken breast, but one is with an orange sauce, one's with a teriyaki sauce. Is that called one thing? Is that called two things? Okay? Tarovot shichvot, right? What if I make like one of these fancy torts or tiramisus, whatever, one of these, you know, the big puddings that have all the layers. There's a layer of brownie, and then pudding, and then bananas, and then strawberries, and then whipped cream, and yada, yada, yada. All our, you know, fancy kiddishes. So is that going to be a problem if, let's say, I want to dig down because I want to take the layer of bananas? I want that brownie at the bottom. I could care less about the fruit and the whipped cream. I want the brownie, right? So is that going, how am I going to relate to things of different levels? Or what if, simply put, you guys have, let's say, a tray of schnitzel for Shabbos, and you like the crispy pieces, right? You love crispy schnitzel. So where's the crispy schnitzel generally going to be?
Like
the crispy schnitzel is always on the bottom because that's what's on the hot plate, right? Assuming you guys use, I don't know if you guys use platas on Shabbos. Don't use platas on Shabbos. I know you use platas during the week. But, you know, how you use platas on Shabbos is a different discussion. But you always know that the piece that's closest to the heating element is going to get a little bit crispier. So you want to dig down to take the bottommost schnitzel because you want the crispy piece. You like that burnt. Are you allowed to go down to take it? Can I remove the piece that's on top of it to get to the bottom, right? It's like one of these big pots. There's lots of layers. Or, you know, the Yerushalmi kugels, you have the huge pot, the, like, you know, 15-quart pots that's made a huge Yerushalmi kugel in. You want the piece that's at the bottom. To get to the bottom piece of the burnt piece of kugel, you inherently need to take out every single piece of kugel to get to it. That might be a case where I'm removing psolet to get to ochel. Because I want the burnt piece at the bottom. The other pieces are irrelevant to me. How do I relate to different layers? What about big and small? Some people, right, you have a big plate of chicken. Of, let's say, schnitzel. So you have some that are these big, nice pieces of schnitzel. And some are, they're like the little schnitzel fingers, right, that were like the small pieces of chicken that they made that fell off on the side. Right? So is that going to be called one thing or two things? If I have big pieces of schnitzel and I have little pieces of schnitzelonium of little chicken nuggets on the same plate, is that, would you call that one or two separate things? Same batter, same chicken, but some are inherently big, some are inherently small. What do you say? Is that a tarovet or is that one thing?
I mean, it's the same chicken, but then just different sizes.
That's our question. Okay, what do you say? It's the same? That's not called a mixture.
It's the same, but they're distinguishably different.
So which one is it? Is it the same or is it distinguishably different? That's the chicken breast and drumsticks, let's say that were made in the same sauce. Right? I have my orange chicken that I made all at once. There's some that's chicken breast, some that are drumsticks, some that are the triangles. Is that called a tarovis or is that not?
I would think that's more of a tarovis than having schnitzels of different size.
Okay, so you're going to say when it's different pieces of meat, right? Dark meat, white meat, breast versus legs, etc. That are wings, that's going to be inherently different versus big pieces of schnitzel and small pieces of schnitzel. What about different sauces? I have, let's say, barbecue chicken wings and I have smoked chicken wings. And they're on the same plate. What if they're touching? As we said before, they're nicker, right? You look at it, you just see, I just see a plate of chicken wings. I can't see that one has the barbecue sauce, one is the teriyaki sauce. They look really the same. So you're saying I could verbally remove the definition of a mixture on it by explaining this half of the plate is A versus that's B? Interesting. Okay. So let's see what the Makoros say. So the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Tanu Rabbanan Hayu Lefanav Minei Ochlin. Pshat in this Gemara, in the Gemara in Bavli, and this seems to also come across from the Yerushalmi as well, is that we're dealing with a mixture that has different types of food, right? Minei Ochlin. There were different types of food. So that would be our cashews and peanuts example, right? Your multicolored gummy bears or jelly beans. Okay? Tosfot explains, when I'm dealing with two types of food, that's called borer. It's not just ochel mitoch psola, but even two types of food, assuming one is not wanted, one is wanted, because then, even though it's edible, right, you love cashews, but right now you're really in the mood for peanuts, that's going to relegate the, I don't remember which way I just said the example, but the one that you currently don't want, even though you generally enjoy it, that would be relegated right now to a hagdara of psolet. So that's what Tosfos then quotes B'Zayim Rabbi Nathanado, right? Sheborer oto, she'enu chafetz lachol mitoch oto she'rotza lachol, de'oto she'enu chafetz, bo'chashi psolet. Because right now that I don't want it, it's called psolet. V'chein mashma b'Yerushalmi degaris haborer ochlim mitoch ochlim. Right? And so, the Tosfot explains, B'Shem Rabbeinu Chananel, a lot of people at the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, Ochel mitoch ochel. So even if both are totally edible, I have a mixture of two types of food. But currently, I really want the barbecue wings. I'll have the smoked wings later. But the barbecue wings are calling my name. Or the teriyaki salmon is really calling me as opposed to the lemon salmon. And they're on the same exact plate. So it's the same type of food, but it's a different sauce. Or one is the polkies, one's the triangle, the chicken breast, the wing, different types of meat. So even though they're both totally edible, Tosfot, Rabbeinu Chananel, based on both the Gemara and Bavli and Yerushalmi, are going to say, Ochel mitoch ochel, because one, something that I currently want, right? You take the teriyaki salmon, put it on your plate, you leave the lemon salmon on the serving dish, that shows, that's a gilui milta. It's going to explain and express your inherent ratzon. That's going to be an issue of Borer. The Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Chet Yud Bet, explains that Habor ochel mitoch psolet, osha yu lefanav shnei minei ochlin, ubeir ormin bemin, acher, ben nafu bekavrachayev, okay? Right, the Rambam explains that when you take food from waste, or if you take food from food, that's going to be a problem of Borer, right? It's regardless of whether or not it's food and psolet, or two types of food, that's the first thing we're going to say, right? Even two types of food, when one is inherently wanted and one is currently less desired, even though it's 100% edible, and in general, you do enjoy it, currently, because it's not what I would like, we are not going to have, we're going to have a problem with Borer because currently I want the second one. The Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to halacha, tells us in Shin Yotet Gimel, that if you have two types of food and they're mixed in front of you, you could separate them to eat them both. The Shulchan Aruch would say that's not a problem, right? Because you're going to eat it right away. So it's basically you're taking food to eat immediately. The Ramah then says, he elaborates explicitly on the Shulchan Aruch, Ushnei mine dagim, mikre shnei mine ochlim v'asar livror echad mechavera ela biado. If I have salmon and I have tuna on the same plate, that's going to be called borer. They're both fish. Yeah, but salmon and tuna are very different fish. They taste different. They look different. They swim differently, right? Salmon goes upstream. Lechora tuna goes downstream. Okay? So we're going to have all these issues. You know, that's going to be two different types of fish are going to be, that's going to be a problem. Lechora from that, based on this Ramah. What if they're both salmon, but they're different types of sauces? Is that called one or two things? They're both salmon. It's not salmon and tuna. One's my teriyaki salmon, one's my lemon salmon. Min echad or shtei minim? What do you say, Chava? Huh? Teriyaki salmon, lemon salmon, one dish.
To be honest, I don't eat fish. I genuinely don't know how different those are.
I mean, one's teriyaki flavored, one's lemon flavored.
Are they the same food, though?
Same slice of a salmon filet. Same, even though the different spice.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're both the same thing.
But they taste totally different. Okay, what do you say? What are you saying? So even though it's the same, let's say, cut of fish, it's the same exact, right? It's the same chicken breast, but one is flavor A, one's flavor B. You would say that's called two minim, and you would say that's one minim, right? Yeah. That goes back to what we just spoke about before, which is the Hagdara V'Tarovet. How do we define a mixture? No, it's a good question. But yeah. Okay, so the Ramah then continues, right? Two fishes, that's going to be a problem. The Ramah then says, Af al pi shechatiro gdolot v'kol echad niker lefnei atzma. This is going to be true, even if each piece is very large, and each is noticeable, right? It's not like, you know, this whole, like, it's not like a plate of chopped meat that's together. You know, you got your pulled brisket and your chopped meat on the same dish. There, it's not so nicker. You have big pieces of salmon. You have big pieces of chicken. Each one is recognizable on its own. The Ramah's going to say, that's still going to be a problem because it's mixed on the same dish. Aval, kol shehu min echad, aval pi sheborer chatirot gdolot mitoch ktanot lo mikrei brer. The Ramah says, but big pieces from small pieces. That's what you were saying before. Right, I have my big pieces of schnitzel and I have my little chicken nuggets on the same plate. The Ramah would say that's not called borer. They're both schnitzel. Just because one's a bigger piece than the other, that's not going to be borer. What would you say, though, if, let's say, we have the kids' table? So you want to give the kids all the little chicken nuggets and put the big pieces on the adults' table. Would that be borer? For the Ramah. The Ramah's saying it's all one type of food. I don't care. That's not called borer. It's all schnitzel. But you're going to say, well, the kids' table's over there. I'm going to give the kids all the little pieces. I'll give the adults the nice mechobel, chatichot, or really, it's katted, these big, nice chunks of schnitzel. Would that be borer for the, or not? Yeah. Yeah, it's always, well, we're only going to be dealing with immediate. We're going to have to define immediate next. But we're only dealing with immediate because otherwise you have a problem with borer. The Rama would say that's not really a problem. Because it's all schnitzel. So one's a big piece, one's a small piece, but it's all schnitzel. And I'm going to say your kavana, once for the kids, once for the adults, is going to make it a problem. The Rama would say no. Okay? Right, the Ramah says based on the Truma Ladashen, right? Truma Ladashen, fascinating, you know, Ashkenazi, Shaila and Tshuva Sefer. How many Tshuva were written in the Sefer? Dashen, right? Then he inherently built into the name of the Sefer 354 Shailas. That's why Truma Ladashen, it was named after that. Ironically, though, it's a Shaila and Tshuva Sefer, but he asked himself the questions. The first Chelek where he asked questions and he wrote a Sefer. Instead of, you know, people asking him questions, right? Rav Moshe, wrote Negros Moshe, people asked him questions, he wrote answers. The Shuman Edition, all these great questions. And he said, oh, this is a good question, let me write an answer. And then he published all his own Shailas and Tshuvas. There's a Chelek Bet, which actually was published with those were questions that he was asked by other people, but Chelek Aleph was really, he asked himself all his questions. Some people are like, oh, that means we can make diuk and we can learn from the question itself. And some people are like, no, that's like a fake sefer. Don't call it a Shaila and Tshuva sefer if you ask yourself the questions. That's like debate in the world and how we relate to it. But definitely that's going to, you know, the Ramah quotes on the Truman Edition all the time. When we talk about like important Ashkenazi Rishonim, that the Ramah quotes from a ton, where the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, doesn't quote so often. So the Truman Edition is one of the really big names that the Ramah relies on a lot, that the Beis Yosef more or less ignores. I don't say ignores, but does not give nearly as much weight. Okay, so he says, and that's going to be that. The Ramah is going to take a very, very different approach. And he says, of course, if you're going to take, as you said before, you're going to separate in order to put aside, that's going to be problematic because the whole purpose is going to be l'altar. So that's the Shulchan Aruch Ramah. Now let's see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. Mishnah Berurah adds some brilliant ideas here. The Mishnah Berurah opens off quoting the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim wrote footnote, what we call in academic texts, he wrote super commentaries. What's a super commentary? Anyone like holding in the like, what's a super commentary? Right, you have the main text, you have a commentary on the text, and then you have a commentary on the commentary. Right, so that would be like a Mosader of Cook footnotes on like the Ramban al Torah. That would be a super commentary. The Gur Aryeh by the Maral on Rashi, that would be called a super commentary. So the Prima Gadim wrote many, many works. We've quoted him before, Rosh Yosef. We've quoted his that's his Chidushim al Shas and Masechet Shabbos and a few other places. So on the Nosei Kelim of the Shulchan Aruch are the Magen Avraham, the Taz, Shach, etc. The Prima Gadim wrote footnotes or elaborations upon them. So on the Magen Avram, he wrote the Sefer called the Prima Gadim Eshel Avram. They always play off the names of the Sefer. So on the Magen Avraham, there's the Eshel Avram. On the Turei Zahav, he wrote the Mishbetzet HaZahav. Right? Zahav, just like we had before, Avram. And then on the Shach, right, the Siftei Kohen, the Prima Gadim wrote the Siftei Das, right? So he really wrote fantastic super commentaries on the Nosei Kelim of Shulchan Aruch. Generally printed in most standard editions of a Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of the page. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim. And the Prima Gadim said, I'm really not sure. What would be my taroves? I have a basket of apples. Some are sour, some are sweet. Is that called a mixture of two meanim or one mean? Is that called a basket of apples, or is that called sweet apples and sour apples?
Well, are they all red apples?
Let's say they're all the same color.
Then they're fine.
Some are sweet, some are sour. Right, you've got your Granny Smith, and you have your golden apples. I guess those are more yellowish a little, but they're greenish yellow. Okay, they're both green. Or some are, you know, you pick them, depending on, you know, generally with fruit. If you pick things earlier in the season, it's a little bit more tart versus later in the season, they're a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, but you're not necessarily know what it's going to taste like until you eat
it. But I know for a fact that there's some sweet apples and sour apples in this basket. I'm pretty sure Chava could tell a sour apple from a sweet apple by looking, no?
No, last week I opened a weird kind of apple by mistake.
I feel like you're like an apple like connoisseur, but I guess not. Okay.
I opened a normal one and opened an apple that was all red on the inside and I still don't know what,
I mean, that's what happens when you like grow up in a community that has no trees.
Trees. They're all ginkgo trees.
They're what?
All ginkgo trees.
They don't have fruit though.
They do, and it smells terrible.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. But, okay, all right. Suburbs have, you know, their benefits in, like, fruit analysis and, you know, understanding. The Heights are like, you know, it teaches you how to deal with other issues. Let's leave it at that. Yeah. So that's the Prima Gaudium's question. What's going to, the Mishnah quotes, what's going to be the definition of the mixture of apples, the sour versus sweet? And he says, I'm not really sure. Because what if some were so sour you would never eat them? Right, it's not like a little bit tart versus sweet. It's, this is really sour, I will, like, you'll spit it out. With that, now does that change your opinion on the question?
Yes and no. I mean, like, yeah, it would change it because then it's inedible to you, so then you would pick those out.
Right, that's for sure. If you have some apples that are so sour, that, like, they're not edible. Like, you wouldn't even bake with them. They're that bad. That's going to be a problem. Okay, so the Prima Gaudium says, like, they asked this question. But he says, for sure, if it's sour, that's not going to be called edible. And thus, that would be border. If they're not, he left that as suffix. But he says, what if it's something that, like, Bishat Tchaki would eat? Right? That's the discussion that's brought down regarding lettuce, right? You know, let's say you have your bug-free Gush Katzif lettuce, and you washed it all, etc. And now comes Shalashudas, you take out your lettuce from the fridge, to cut up the salad, and some leaves have started to get mildewy, some are totally still fresh and crispy. Is there borer to take out the mildewy leaves from the crispy lettuce? Both are lettuce, 100%. This is chasalat, bug-free lettuce, right? No protein in this lettuce. All our jukim and bugs are gone. Okay, yeah, what were you going to say? Ask someone with the same page numbers as you.
Okay,
figure out what page number we're on?
I was actually confused because I don't know.
18.
How?
You.
I don't see the...
Mishnah Berurah Shinya Tet Gimel.
What?
But, before, right before Shear the Altar.
Oh, you were talking about the Prima Gaudium.
Yeah, it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. I didn't bring the Prima Gaudium here. I just kind of quoted it in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, right, remember how we discussed at the beginning that there is almost all of Borer is Dioraita or Mutar L'Chatchila. There's very, very little, if any, Isser Derabanans, besides for the, like, middle ground Kli that's brought down in the Gemara, which we generally don't have today, right? There's the Kli Miyuchad L'Breyer Midioraita, Kli Miyuchad Midirabanan and Biad. So there's the middle ground Kli that's going to be an Isser Derabanan. Besides for that, there's very few Isser Derabanan. This is like the one Isser Derabanan that Mishnah Berurah quotes. Bishat Hadchak, in a pressing situation, if you would eat it, that would only be called Psolet Mederabanan. So Bishat Hadchak, you would eat mildewy lettuce, right? The lettuce that's a little bit slimy, it's not so crisp, doesn't have that nice crunch to it. Right, it's starting to brown. It's a little bit wilted. Maybe it's a little bit slimy, but like if you're starving in the forest, you would eat it.
I mean, if you're starving in the forest, you're gonna eat a lot.
But correct, but you wouldn't eat like totally. You wouldn't eat a moldy clementine in the forest.
You'd eat a really sour apple. Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't eat a moldy apple. There's like there's a line of like that middle ground of I really don't want to eat this, but like I'll eat it to survive. But like That's the difference between, like, you're, like, mushy apple, and it's got, like, those bruised spots. It's like, I don't, you know, you're an apple snob. You won't eat bruised apples. You won't eat a mushy orange. But, like, if it's this or nothing, you'll eat it. But if it was, like, a mold, right? Today I daven mincha outside by my neighbor's house. They have two really beautiful clementine trees. And on the ground, there's all these, the fruit that's fallen. They didn't pick up and eat in time. There's tons of moldy clementines on the floor. I wouldn't eat those b'shat etchak. Right, the moldy clementines that are swarming with flies, I wouldn't eat b'shat etchak. But the...
Your neighbors do a bad job.
What?
Your neighbors do a bad job.
I mean, there's like hundreds of clementines on these two trees for like their one family. Yeah, they should post and say, you know, neighbors should come and take. Someone else does that. We have a lemon tree, and they're like, we can't use this many lemons. So every year they send out a message like, feel free to take lemons from our property. Like, there's a tree right there. Feel free. That's my neighbor. My Rosh Hashiva lives below us. I'm Rabbi Yaakov and Shlita. He planted a pomegranate tree. So last year, I went over him. He said, I never pick from the tree. It's a beautiful tree, but I generally don't pick from it. Feel free to take what you want. Okay? So there's like different ideas of how, you know, you deal with these things. But like, there are certain things where it's like, I would never eat that versus like, b'shat tzchak, I would eat it. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's like it's like wilted lettuce, it's a little bit slimy, it's slightly mildewy, or it's mildewy, that I wouldn't eat it on a regular Shabbos, I would throw it out. But I would eat it if I didn't have an option. That's only going to be called Borer Derabanan, right? That's always going to be like a good trivia. What are cases of Borer Derabanan? Wilted or mildewy lettuce that you generally wouldn't eat is like one of the very few. Yeah.
So is the mildewy lettuce situation different from the sour apple situation? Sour apples in bowl with good apples? Very sour apples that you wouldn't eat?
It would be the same. If, like, there were sour apples that you wouldn't eat versus, like, you're not such a Granny Smith fan, but, like, you know, sometimes you'll eat it. It's not like, okay. Versus, like, you wouldn't generally eat, mildewy lettuce. You don't prefer Granny Smith apples, right? You love your golden apples, your Fiji apples, your sweet apples, but you don't like your Granny Smith. Okay? So that's case number two. That's going to be an Issur D'Rabbanan. The Taz actually says we're machmir, that even within one type of food, if you choose one and don't want the other, that would be called borer d'oraita. That's the sheet of the Taz. So the Taz would say, if you take off the top schnitzel because you want the burnt schnitzel on the bottom, the top kugel to get to the burnt pieces on the bottom, the big schnitzel you remove to get to the little pieces on the bottom, the Taz holds that's borer d'oraita. He disagrees with the Ramah. The Ramah would say, big and small, doesn't really matter to me, it's all min echad. The Taz says, no, that's called borer d'oraita. That's the sheet of the Taz. And as a result, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that most achronim really hold like the Ramah, that there's no borer of min echad, but unlike the Taz. Taz would say it's d'oraita. Mishnah Berurah, Ramah, Rov achronim say that's only going to be d'rabbanan. Sorry, that's going to be mutar l'chatchila. What about roasted meat and baked and cooked meat? I have the same slight cut of brisket. One I threw in a smoker and slow cooked for 24 hours. One I cooked in the oven, they have the same exact sauce on them. Different forms of cooking.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One meat, one or two. Same sauce, same cut of meat, was cooked differently. Vega? Same, different. The question. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, a roast meat and a baked meat, even though they'd be the same sauce, same cut of meat, that would be called two different things. That would be called shtei minim. Same things with wings versus polkis, right? You have the drumsticks versus chicken wings. That would be called two minim.
So what's the criteria that we're looking at when we're not
same or different? So some of it's like the Mishnah Shabbos that Rav Zandra pointed out before. It's really a question of, like, is it nicker, right? Does it look the same or not? So here, it's kind of, does it fit the same criteria, right? Is it the same flavor? Is it the same cut of meat? Is it the same, you know, or is it really two totally separate things?
So why is the meat that's the same everything?
Because it was cooked differently. And now, and right, there's a different shame, right? There's a shame basar tzli, right, roasted meat, versus mevushal, that it was cooked or steamed, right? I could steam it. I could boil it. Right. Let's not use cooked in an oven versus smoked. Let's say we go with grilled versus boiled. Same piece of meat, same spice coating. one I put in a pot and I boiled, one I roasted. What? Right, that what you're pointing out today is a very good idea that carries over in Hilchos Kashrus and Hilchos Shabbos. Is there's a different shame, there's a different title that's given to the meats when based on how it's performed. Sorry, prepared, not performed. Right? There's roast meat, there's boiled meat, there's smoked meat. That's gonna have there's fried meat. That's gonna have different discussions. The basar v'chalav d'oraita, the rabbanan. Right? What if I depending on how I cook them, is that gonna be called basar v'chalav? If I cook my meat with milk, is that going to be called d'oraita d'rabbanan? Different forms of bishul. The Petchei Tshuva at the beginning of Siman Pei Zayin discusses that. Okay, different forms of bishul. Okay, what about frying? What if I put it in chametz tveria? What about smoking, roasting, etc., dry cooking, etc.? What about sous vide? I think that's how you pronounce it. Is sous vide going to be called basar v'chalav d'oraita d'rabbanan? Depending on how it's cooked, that's going to have a lot of discussion ramifications in that. In that whole discussion, how do I relate to these things? Induction stovetops, okay? There's no transfer of heat. It's eddy currents via electromagnetic pulses. How does that work? Okay? A lot of these interesting discussions are going to come up, based on what you're saying, for sure is going to have ramifications. Let's finish the Mishnah Berurah, then we'll accept your question before we start just the next topic, and with that we'll finish for tonight. So the Mishnah Berurah would say different forms of cooking is going to be different shame, different types of food. Right, your boiled meat versus your smoked meat. Same thing with if you have a plate of wings and polkies, or chicken breast and polkies, etc. That's for sure going to be called tuminim, assuming that it's a tarovet. If it's really nicker, right, you've got on the right half of the platter all the chicken breast, the left half of the platter all the chicken wings, and in the middle you have this wonderful row of French fries. No one's going to say that's a tarovet, right? That's not as in clearly that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when it's really it's kind of all mixed together. You have one of these beautiful fruit platters that are all intertwined and it's intricately cut and you've got things sticking out from different places to create, you know, they made the bar mitzvah boy out of cantaloupe, right? Whatever it is, and there's like grapes for the eyes and a strawberry nose and a whatever. So maybe there you'd have a problem because it's all intertwined, it's become one thing. Versus a platter where it's all separate, that's going to be a question of is it nicker or not nicker, as we discussed previously. The Mishnah Berurah then points out, this is also going to be true with different flavorings. You shouldn't put meat that's going to have different flavors. You've got the smoked meat and the honey mustard meat on the same plate. You've got the teriyaki salmon with the lemon salmon on the same plate. Mishnah Berurah is going to say that would really be problematic. You should ideally make separate trays with the different types of meat. And then the Mishnah Berurah also adds that Borer applies, as I mentioned before, to non-food items as well. That's going to affect your sock drawer. That's going to affect when you go to your closet in the morning to take out your shirt for Shabbos. Am I allowed to push things aside or not? Borer, taking the good from the bad versus, no, I don't want this and throw it on the floor. Right? You take out every shirt, throw them on the floor until you find the one you want. That's not what we should be doing. You should be trying to take out the good from the bad. Borer applies to non-food things. That's going to be our silverware, as we discussed earlier. Maybe playing cards as well. But the Mishnah Berurah points out, what if, you know, I don't know how the, whatever, if this is Shayach and where you grew up or the Amudim dorms, you have one of these, like, you know, massive closets and you've got like three rows of clothing. I keep my Shabbos clothes in the back row. Why? I use my weekday clothing 6 days a week. My Shabbos clothing I use on Shabbos. So I want to go to the back. I have to take out some of my weekday clothing in order to get to my Shabbos clothing. Is that going to be a problem of Borer? I took out the bad in order to get to the good. What do you say? Yeah?
And then putting it back. I don't know whether that would
count as removing something, right? Your intention was never to take it out of the mixture. Your intention is just to sort of get it out of the way. It's like if you pushed aside some other thing to reach where you're going.
Fantastic. So that's what we're going to discuss. This is what I always like to call, this is the banana case. Okay? Bananas pose a fascinating shaila in Hilchos Borer. How can I ever eat a banana on Shabbos? I have to peel the peel in order to eat, unless you're one of these, like, if anyone here is one of those, you know, freaks who eat the banana peels with the banana, I ask Machil in advance, but you should see a psychologist, okay? Really best,
yeah. No one who does that.
I've seen people do it, it's weird. Don't try it.
I know somebody who ate orange. She just bit into it. She didn't recommend it.
I did that for a dare in camp years ago, where we had to race to eat a onion like an apple. But that was like, this is what happens when you're a counselor and you're trying to make funny videos for your campers, and you end up like, you know, lottering out who gets which really horrible task. You get stuck eating a whole onion. I think we both quit in the middle, actually, so we both lost. I think I quit. I think we both quit. And it was really gross. But point is, that's, yeah. So the banana case is going to be, is there going to be a problem to take off the peel? Can I peel a banana on Shabbos? Can I peel an orange on Shabbos?
I don't see why that's the same case.
Because the case with the banana and the same case when you have your multiple...
Something is in the way.
Exactly. Your multi-layered closet, right? For those that are zochet, there are 3, 4, right? You've got your massive closet with all the layers that goes back. You know, it's like a library. It's got, you know, rows of bookshelves. You've got rows of hanging rods. It's like your banana. I need to remove the outer peel to get to what's on the inside. I can't get to the second layer of clothing because it's blocked by the first layer of clothing. So what do I need to do? I have to take out some clothing to wiggle my way through to get to the back. So in that case, the Mishnah Berurah would say that would be okay because you're simply trying to enable yourself to get to the back. You're not separating the bad from the good. You're enabling yourself to get to the good. So that would be inherently different between where I am plucking out, let's say, inferior pieces of meat that are not, I don't feel it's mechuba to put on the platter before my guests, versus I want to simply remove the peel of a banana because that's my only way of eating it, right? I could have said for a banana, oh, just cut it in half and squeeze it out at the bottom like one of those like ices.
You can't squeeze fruit.
But it's a banana. It doesn't have juice.
No.
I mean, I've never seen banana juice. I had a banana today. There was no juice. I had a grapefruit today. There was lots of juice.
You never bite into a banana and think, juicy.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a banana today. I had a grapefruit today. Grapefruit, juicy. Banana, not so juicy. Discussion about mashing bananas on Shabbos, but never heard of a discussion about squeezing bananas on Shabbos, but, you know, to each their own. But, you know, people have, like, these, like, juicing crave, right? Everyone, like, everyone in, like, Brooklyn, they juice kale and all these other weird stuff. Okay? So, Lechora, there's people who juice bananas. I don't know.
I mean, there is, like, banana and, like, strawberry juice. That's the thing.
Yeah, but that's not actually juice. That's, like, chemical food coloring flavoring.
No, I'm thinking it's not juice,
it's
sort of squeezed down banana
slurry. Smoothie. But smoothie is not schita. A smoothie is not going to fall under squeezing on Shabbos. Okay, getting back to our topic, that's going to be the infamous banana in Hilchos Shabbos, how that kicks in. No, okay, because the banana is like, well, I could cut it and squeeze it out at the bottom like an icing or one of these like a, I don't remember from their childhood, there was like those yogurt in a tube.
Yeah, we never ate them because they weren't kosher.
Ah, so there was a while where they were kosher. Yeah. But there used to, I remember there was like a non-kosher one that was always on like all the ads on TV. And I was like, well, those are the cool kids. They were eating treif. But
the cool
kids. Whatever, you know. But there was a kosher one for a while. So with that, we finished. Any questions till now? So, do we want to start the next topic that will take us over into Night Seder, or should we stop here and let's start Night Seder a few minutes early, or take questions? Great. So yeah, we'll stop here and we'll do questions. Next week we'll pick up. So I don't know if there's Shir next week yet, Hanukkah. I don't, I don't know if anyone actually knows. I think not for now, but that could change. Next week, we'll pick up with the all-important sugya of what is the la'altar, right? We said miyad biyad la'achila. So what is the definition of miyad, immediately, right? When it comes to immediate usage, we could easily come up with three or four options to how I would define the word immediate. That is going to be a question that carries major ramifications, objective, subjective, how that's going to actually apply. Fascinating question. Big machlok at Rishonim, five different shittos in the Rishonim, machlok at Aposkim. Awesome, lots of fun. But we'll get to that Bezrat Hashem next week. So today we really focused on what is our Hagdara of a Tarovet? How do I define mixtures? What is a mixture? And then what's inherently not a mixture? Machloket, Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman versus Rav El Yashiv. Can I take a mixture, throw it on the floor, and now it's all scattered? That's not called a mixture. Rav El Yashiv, you just did Borer. I don't care that you didn't do Borer one by one. By spilling it on the floor, that's called Borer. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe, that's not called Borer. You just removed the Hagdara, the Shem Taroves, from it. That's going to be Mutter. Then we discussed big pieces, small pieces, different levels, different layers. Mildewy, non-mildewy, edible, not edible, shat atchak, mutter, aser, dioraita, multiple different types of food, same types of food, but different parts of the food, whether that's chicken breasts versus polkies and thighs and wings. What about different types of fish, salmon versus tuna? What about different types of spices or sauces, right? Your teriyaki versus your lemon, your smoked and seasoned versus your sauce, what about your roast versus your boiled? That's a lot of what we discussed today. Really focused on the Hagdara of a Tarovet. Next week we'll do the Shir Le'altar. And then after we do Shir Le'altar, then we're going to do, when maybe is there a case where I could take the psolet from the food and that would be acceptable? Then we're going to, after that, we're going to get into a lot of the really fun Halacha L'maisa cases. What happens if a fly falls into your soup? Can I use a Brita pitcher or a water bottle that has a filter on Shabbos? What about taking off the sticker from your challahs, right? It says Mafe Neman. So our angels, they sometimes put a little sticker on the challah. Can you take those off on Shabbos? Can I wash fruits and vegetables on Shabbos? Is that going to be acceptable because of Borer? What about using a vegetable peeler? Is a fruit or vegetable peeler going to be called Kli Miuchad Lebreira? Lots of really, really fun shailas that come up all the time. We'll stop here and pick up next week, Bezrat Hashem, or after Hanukkah. Awesome.